Tonight's SmackDown was built around the return of Bray Wyatt to the Blue Brand. We did not get Bray on Raw Monday night. Everything was building towards his return on SmackDown, which apparently is going to be his home going forward. Bray Wyatt is going to be part of the SmackDown brand, but we didn't know what he would be doing on tonight's show. The entire show tonight was built around his return. They saved it for the very end, which was a smart thing for them to do, keep people tuned in. And we did get Bray Wyatt in the flesh tonight. We got a different Bray Wyatt than we have ever seen before on WWE television. This was probably the closest thing to the Husky Harris version of Bray Wyatt, in that he was an actual human being. He walked out there, there was no gaga, there was not a lot of hocus pocus, you know, outside of the imaginary door to another dimension, apparently, that he walked through. But he came to the ring tonight, and I think what we got on this show tonight at the end was his way of saying thank you. I think what we got from him tonight was genuinely a thank you to the fans for all of the support, the fact that people never forgot about him, the fact that, as he said in his promo, people would come up to him and would say to him, I miss you. When are you going to come back? You saved my life. You were, you know, very important to me at a time in my life where I was down in the dumps. He was getting emotional and you know, it looked like he was tearing up. I think that was his way of being able to say thank you before the rest of this stuff kicks in. Because the way they went off the air tonight was actually a very smart way, I think, to leave things hanging for next week. They gave us a cliffhanger ending. We are going to have multiple personalities of Wyatt. That is where this is headed. So we had Bray on the show. We also had Rey Mysterio on the show tonight. Rey Mysterio, who has been part of Monday Night Raw now for a very long time, showed up on SmackDown to tell Triple H that he was done. He showed up to tell Triple H, I quit. The second member of the roster now that the Judgment Day has gotten to say those words. Triple H took him into his office and said, look, don't make any rash decisions. Come talk to me for 5 minutes. By the end of the night, Rey Mysterio was the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship, a title he has not held in many years. Another move that I like. I love the idea of Rey Mysterio being back on the brand that he helped build as part of the SmackDown 6 in the early to mid-2000s. And it sets up a match now that we've never seen before that I am very much looking forward to. Although I would offer a suggestion as far as a hashtag is concerned, given that Rey is going to be getting into the ring with Walter in the very near future, I think the hashtag Pray for Rey would be appropriate. I don't think it's going to end very well for him. But we ended up with a very good fatal four-way match out of it. LA Knight is back. They've been teasing it now for weeks, dancing around it. This was the first time we had LA Knight proper. As LA Knight, in a ring, making his debut on SmackDown, not as a manager, not as a modeling agent, as a wrestler. And they swerved us at the very end of it because he got on the mic and he turned himself heel. He came out as a babyface, or at least that's how people were treating him. He left as a heel. There is no doubt now about what he is supposed to be here on this show because he went off on the fans. And again, I love it. What is the consistent thread here? Triple H making moves here on Friday nights that I love. This show has seen a marked improvement since he has taken over. SmackDown all of a sudden is getting back some of that juice that it used to have that it lost along the way. SmackDown went from being the A show to being a pile of shit, a pile of blue shit. And now SmackDown is starting to get its moxie back. It's found its mojo. And it's enjoyable to watch. It's enjoyable to tune in now on a Friday night. I thought tonight's show was very good. I enjoyed it. This is your WWE SmackDown review for Friday, October 14, 2022. Please hit that subscribe button. And join our family, join our little community here on the channel. We would love to have you. We'll pull up a chair. We'll make you a plate. We got Food Hive. He's cooking in the kitchen. What do you want? You want a pot roast? You want chicken? You want pizza? He'll make it for you. He's a great chef, or at least that's what he tells everybody. Super chats are open. I will be reading your messages a little bit later on. And the goal for Be the Booker tonight is 500. If we can hit 500 likes, then we will do a little bit of Be the Booker at the end of the night. That's how it works here on these streams. Thank you for joining me on a Friday night. So let's go back to the beginning of where things started tonight, which was in the parking lot with a car crash. And this hit a little too close to home for me because I don't know how many of you are based in the East Coast. I don't know how many of you are based out of New York. I had to travel out of state for a work thing yesterday. I was driving home very late. And yesterday was the one day of the entire week where it was going to rain. I said, well, that sucks, but what are you going to do, right? A little bit of rain, not a big deal. This was not a little bit of rain. I've never in my life driven in a rainstorm like this before, where it is just, you can't see anything. My new best friend was the guy in front of me, so I can use his brake lights as a guide to make sure that I'm still in the lines. Like, that's how bad it was. I had two near-death experiences on the road last night. In one case, I almost got knocked off the road by a tractor trailer. So that was a little scary. And then when I thought I was out of the woods and I turned off the highway and I was almost home, I must have hit a giant puddle that I didn't know was there. And the water just came whooshing over the car. It looked like I was in a car wash. I couldn't see anything. So I almost hit the car next to me. Somehow I made it home in one piece. Karrion Kross was not so lucky. Karrion Kross and Scarlett were involved here in an auto accident in the parking lot outside the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans, which is where they were tonight. And they were out of the car. Scarlett had a bloody nose. Karrion Kross had some blood on his head. All of a sudden, Drew McIntyre shows up to attack him in a rage. And he attempted to close the door of Kross's car on his face, but officials and producers, they came over to pull him away before he could finish the job. Yes, it was very scary. I can honestly say the only thing I can think of that would be worse than the driving conditions that I experienced last night would be driving in a blizzard. Obviously, that would be worse. If you're out on the roads in the winter, or even in certain parts of the country where you have to just deal with those conditions, you've got black ice, you've got snow and wind, right? That's the only thing I can imagine that would be worse than this. Like, you can't see. There's no visibility. And it's at night, so it's pitch black as it is. That just makes it worse. So it was very scary. I can say that after last night, I don't ever want to drive again. I'm going to park the car. I'm going to leave it alone. It's going to sit there. I can walk to where I need to go. Very, very scary. I wanted to get on the ground and kiss the floor when I got home, but I didn't do that. So Karrion Kross, he was scheduled to participate in a fatal four-way match. They announced it this afternoon on WWE.com to crown a new number one contender for the Intercontinental title. It was going to be Sheamus, Ricochet, Solo Sikoa, and Karrion Kross. And so we see what happened here in the parking lot, and the announcers were saying, well, as things stand, he's still going to be in the match later, but what condition will he be in? We would come to find out later on that Karrion Kross would not make it into the match at all. But that was the last that we saw of him or Scarlett or Drew McIntyre for the rest of the night. So we had Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. They were out next for Kofi's match against Sami Zayn. As they were making their way out, both members of New Day took turns on the microphone. They were talking about how important it was for them to be the longest reigning tag team champions in WWE history. 483 days. You remember several years ago, they made a very big deal about this on TV. They beat Demolition's record, and they set the all-time record for longevity as tag team champions. And they were talking here about how that record is our legacy, and that legacy will be preserved forever. Michael Cole, though, pointed out on commentary that the Usos are only 30 days away from tying the all-time record, which they will do. Not only will they tie the record, they will break the record as well. But I was looking at the calendar and I was saying, if they want to, you know, build up some drama, November 11, I believe, is the date that I looked up. That's a Friday, and I believe that's about a day or two before they tie the record. So New Day, if you remember, they pinned Jimmy Uso on TV. There was a tag team match or a six-man tag, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And seem to put themselves in position to challenge for the titles. If they're going to do that tag team title match, that November 11th SmackDown would seem like the prime place to do it. You can build drama and say, this is it. It's do or die. They either win the titles tonight or the record is going to be broken. So I would be looking at that November 11th episode of SmackDown. I think that's when they're going to do the match. In the back, Sami Zayn was in the gorilla position with Solo Sikoa getting ready to come out for his match. And he was trying to convince Solo to stay behind. He's got a big match himself later on tonight in the Fatal 4-Way. I'm going to go it alone tonight. Jey Uso showed up. There was no Roman Reigns on this show. No Roman Reigns. There was no Paul Heyman. There was no Jimmy Uso. We don't know where Jimmy Uso. I'm afraid to ask where Jimmy Uso was. I mean, they were in New Orleans, probably on Bourbon Street somewhere. But there was no Jimmy Uso, only Jey. Only Jey. There was no Dana, only Zool on the show tonight. And when Sammy asked him, hey, where's Jimmy? Jey said that he's tending to family business. And Sammy said, well, if that's the case, then I should have known about this. And Jey said, no, real family. Not this family. Real family business. And Sammy told Jey that he would be out there in Sammy's corner tonight. Because remember, Roman Reigns put Sami Zayn in charge of Jey Uso like he's a dog. He's got to walk the dog. He's got to pick up after the dog. He's got to feed the dog. He's got to walk the dog. So he told Jey, you're going to be in my corner tonight instead. Sammy's phone rang all of a sudden, sounding like the phone at my grandmother's house when I was 5 years old. And it was Roman Reigns calling to ask him about what happened on Raw Monday night when Sammy lost his match to Matt Riddle. Wanted to know what happened. He was supposed to win. What happened there on Monday night? He told Roman that Jey could have helped him. You remember Jey Uso was outside with Jimmy. Jimmy wanted to help, and Jey said, no, he's got this. He said Jimmy could have helped, or Jey rather could have helped, but I think he did that on purpose. He said, I think he chose not to. So Roman wanted to talk to Jey, and Sammy handed the phone over to him, and Jey starts going off to Roman about Sammy, but we couldn't hear what Roman said. Roman obviously cut him off, though. And Jey acknowledged him as the tribal chief. He handed the phone back to Sammy, who then made his way out to the ring with Jey. Now, there was a fan in the front row for the entire show who was sitting there opposite the hard camera wearing a skeleton mask, like it was Halloween. And at first I said, well, maybe this has to do with the Bray Wyatt stuff, right? We saw people in rabbit costumes on TV in the weeks leading up to Extreme Rules. As it turned out, it was just some fan in the crowd. But there he was for the entire show. Skeletor was sitting in the front row. So there was a botch here. Kofi at one point came off the ropes for what looked like, I think he was supposed to come off the ropes with a springboard into a Hurricanrana and take Sammy over. Somehow it got botched. And I don't know if somebody just forgot where they were for a second. I don't know if it was Sammy or Kofi or who, but it got all screwed up. Zayn turned it into a roll-up for a near fall. Kofi immediately came back with a leaping foot stomp that also did not look very good. Zayn shoved Kingston off the top rope to the floor heading into the commercial break. When they came back, Jey took out Xavier Woods on the floor with a super kick. That distracted Kofi, who got pulled into a great Blue Thunderbomb. You already know, that's one of my favorite moves. I love that move. And I was really hoping off the distraction, even though I'm not a fan of these distraction finishes, that would have been the perfect moment to end the match, but they had a story to tell, so this was not the finish. Kofi kicked out. Sammy set up for the Huluva kick. Kofi avoided it. He hit a kick and a flying palm strike. Kofi set up for Trouble in Paradise. Jey, though, distracted him, which allowed Sammy to get a schoolboy for a two count. Sammy avoided Trouble in Paradise again. Kofi tried a victory roll, but Jey kicks them forward, sending their momentum in the opposite way. And so now it's Sammy who has Kofi pinned. Referee didn't see it. And Sami Zayn gets the pin on the roll-up for the win. So Roman Reigns must have put the fear of God into Jey Uso because he was on his best behavior here in this match. There was no arguing with him and Sammy. He was doing everything in his power to try to help this man win, and in the end, he helped Sami Zayn win the match. And aside from those, I would say, messy 15 or 20 seconds or so, I thought this was good. Now, to the back. Triple H is in the hallway, and Triple H is thanking some of the police officers, I guess, for helping out with the car accident in the parking lot. Rey Mysterio showed up, and he said, I need to talk to you. And I already had one person, I think, send me a tweet saying, you know, why would Ray feel he has to show up on SmackDown? Don't these people have, you know, phones? They can text. If you're going to go to your boss and tell your boss that you've, you know, now he hasn't been working for Triple H for very long, but obviously they know each other a very long time. And Triple H is his boss, and Ray has been in the company for so many years. Rey Mysterio is not going to text his resignation to Triple H or to Vince McMahon. I don't have an issue with him showing up on SmackDown if the idea was he wanted to show up out of respect and talk to Triple H and meet with him face to face. This could not wait for Monday. He had to get this off his chest now, and so therefore he showed up. I don't have any issue with him not texting him. Plus, it's a fucking television show. Literally every decision on this show, people could be texting each other, but you wouldn't have a very good television show if that was the case. Of all the nits to pick on this show, that is not one of them. So even though he is a Raw star, Rey Mysterio showed up tonight to talk to Triple H. And he said, look, I have reached my breaking point with the stuff with Dominic and the Judgment Day. He goes, I will not fight my son. And as I said the other night, we all know where this is going. This is Bret Owen heading into WrestleMania 10. This is Undertaker and Kane heading into WrestleMania 14. It will be Rey and Dominic heading into WrestleMania 39. But right now, we're in the early phase still of, I will not fight my son. Under no circumstances will I fight my flesh and blood. He said, I still see Dominic as that little boy that used to sit in my lap and bounce around, and he would fall asleep on my shoulder, and he would slobber all over me, and he would, you know, throw up all over him. He didn't say that, but that's what babies do. I mean, that's really all babies do. They piss, they shit, they throw up, they eat, they sleep, they piss, they shit. It's just this vicious cycle. Because I can't fight my son. He says, I love WWE, but I wanted to look you in the eye. Again, which is why he was there. I want to look you in the eye, and I want to let you know I quit. And Triple H said, okay, hold on one second here. Hold on a second. He goes, look, give me 5 minutes. Come into my office and just talk. Let's talk and just give me 5 minutes. And so they went into Triple H's office, heading into the break. So in the locker room, coming back from the break, we saw Roxanne Perez from NXT making her very first appearance here on the main roster. She was in the back with Shotzi Blackheart, and Raquel Rodriguez comes walking in to the segment. They talked about Roxanne taking on Cora Jade at Halloween Havoc, which I believe is next Saturday. I think it's next Saturday. She explained that they're doing this pick your poison stipulation where she picks someone from, I think, from the main roster to wrestle Cora on TV next week. Cora will do the same on Monday. She'll pick somebody on Monday to wrestle Roxanne on Tuesday, I believe is how this is working. And so she wanted Raquel, who is somebody who is very familiar with Cora Jade and the people in NXT. And she wanted Raquel to come to NXT to wrestle Cora Jade. Which, by the way, NXT on Tuesday is running head-to-head with AEW Dynamite, which is being bumped up by a day because of the NHL on TBS. So for the first time, I think in about 18 months or so, we are going to have ourselves a head-to-head skirmish on Tuesdays instead of Wednesday this time. It's on a Tuesday between NXT and AEW. If I remember, because I had looked it up, I believe the NXT show, the last time that they went head-to-head, I believe it was the last time, NXT, I think, had like 750,000 viewers on USA. AEW, I think, had about 1.1 million. So I am predicting that NXT will not have 750,000, and AEW will most definitely not have 1.1 million. I know that's a bold prediction, but that's the prediction I'm sticking with. So Damage Control interrupted, and Roxanne pissed off Bayley when she pointed out that Bayley has been on a losing streak. Bayley didn't like that very much, so she challenged them to a trios match later in the show. We got Braun Strowman in a two-on-one handicap match taking on James Maverick and Brian Thomas. Braun was throwing these dudes around like they were nothing. When the camera cut to the crowd and they show Omos and MVP, both in suits, of course, they're shooting Omos. You know, the cameraman is basically sitting on his ass with the camera aimed upward. They've been doing that. I mean, going back to the Andre days. And Andre was a big guy. But You want to make the guy look even bigger than he really is, you shoot him from below. That's how you do it. With the Giants, that's how you do it. So they show Omos and MVP are walking down this. They're in the crowd. They're walking down the stairs, coming down to ringside. They stood there in the audience. They were kind of staring at Braun as Braun finished off these two jabronis with the monster bomb. He powerbombed one of them onto the other guy, and he struggled. He had trouble getting the guy up. I guess the guy didn't go up properly for the powerbomb at first, but he kind of just muscled him up anyway and just powerbombed him right on the other guy, finished those two off. Michael Cole on commentary outright called these two guys jabronis, which I don't know I have ever heard Michael Cole actually call two jabronis by that word on the actual television show. Bobby Heenan on TV would call them ham and eggers, which I think was an old, Three Stooges thing that he got that from. But I don't think I've ever heard Michael Cole actually just flat out call these guys jabronis on TV, which is what they were. So after the match, MVP got a microphone, and he took issue with Braun calling himself the monster of all monsters. And MVP said that Strowman would look normal if he stood next to Omos, and MVP's mic was cutting out at this point, so it was a little hard to understand what he was saying. But he said some monsters are better off staying in the shadows. And Cole, after the segment was over, had to repeat the line in case people couldn't hear him the first time. Look, as soon as we saw Braun come out here on this show to do the handicap, and this was, I think, the first time that we have seen Braun Strowman here on TV doing the handicap match gimmick. Omos has been doing it on Raw now for a few months when we actually see him on the show. We don't see him on the show every week. So the minute that I saw Braun doing this gimmick on SmackDown, it seemed kind of obvious that maybe it's Survivor Series or something. I know it's not really Raw versus SmackDown anymore, but that they were starting to build to something with him and Omos. And I didn't expect Omos to actually show up 2 minutes later, but there he was in the crowd. And look, as far as what this is going to end up being, I am morbidly curious. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm morbidly curious to see what happens when you get these two in the ring. Braun has been doing very well so far. Braun Strowman has been over every single week that we've seen him. Tonight, he didn't get the same kind of reaction, but honestly, that was just the crowd in New Orleans. I don't know what was in the water in New Orleans tonight. I've been in that building. I've been in the Smoothie King Center the night after WrestleMania. Granted, that's usually a show where everybody is going crazy and you have people flying in from all over the world, but still, this crowd sounded very disinterested for large parts of the show tonight. But Braun has been very over since he's come back, and they've been handling him very well. They've been very smart with him. He's a giant. He's a monster. When is he at his best? When he comes out and he destroys people. And we get him in small doses, not in long, extended matches. So the stuff he did with Chad Gable and the stuff he did with Otis, you know, it's gotten over, and he's been getting great reactions. Then there's Omos, and I'm not worried so much about Braun. It's Omos who's the wild card here. You put these two in the ring together, I think you are going to have interest for people who just want to see two really big guys go like fucking King Kong and Godzilla coming together in the ring for the first time. When the bell rings and the match actually starts, you've got to be very smart in the way that you lay this thing out, and you can't let this thing overstay its welcome. Now, if you can work, have Omos work a few power spots in there. Don't give him too much to do. Keep it relatively short. It may not be terrible, because the potential is there for this to be the fucking worst match of the entire year. You'll have the initial, like, ooh, ah, you know, of seeing them together, the visual of these two big giants, the two biggest guys in the company going face to face. And then the bell rings, and they have to have a fucking match. And that's the problem, because you got Braun on one side, but you got Omos on the other side. It's one thing if Braun Strowman is in there working with a Chad Gable. It's very different if he's in there working with Omos. So this is either going to be a pleasant surprise when they put these two in the ring together, or this is going to end up being a fucking disaster. There is no in-between. There is no in-between here. So I am morbidly curious to see how this match is going to turn out, depending on when they do it. We don't know when they'll do it. To the back, Sami Zayn is talking to Solo Sikoa about how he just won his match with Kofi Kingston. Jey Uso asked Sammy to show him some gratitude. Jey Uso said, "You're welcome." And Sammy couldn't understand what he meant by that. Like, what do you mean? And Jey explained to him that, you know, he won the match for him. And Sammy had no idea what he was talking about. Sammy said he won that match all by himself. Because Sammy didn't see what happened. If you go back and watch the end of that match, when Jey, you know, kicks his feet up and kind of pushes them over, Sammy didn't see it. The referee didn't see it, and Zayn didn't see it. So Sammy is like, what are you talking about? I won that match all by myself. It's, you know, frankly, he goes, it would be nice if you gave me credit for once. So that's only going to further, even though they got along well in that one segment, this is only going to further the problems in the storyline between these two. Jey asked Solo Sikoa to back him up. Like, you saw what happened, right? Just back me up on this. And Solo said, no, actually, I didn't. I was watching Sammy. And then he even admitted, he goes, you know, I could learn something from this guy. And Jey was incredulous. He just couldn't, he was beside himself. He couldn't believe it. So another good segment involving these three. We had Maxxine Dupri. She was out next to introduce the Maximum Male Mid-Carders. First Massey and then Mansoir. Mansoir was going one-on-one tonight against the debuting LA Knight. Max Dupri is dead. LA Knight has risen from the ashes. And he had his old NXT theme song and his entrance and his gear. There was no remnant whatsoever left of Max Dupri here. This was just like as if he had debuted straight out of NXT. This was classic LA Knight. Wade Barrett on commentary said, out with the Max Dupri nonsense. Truer words have never been spoken. Thank you, Wade Barrett. Thank you, Triple H. Triple H is the one that we should be thanking for this. Were it not for Triple H taking power when he did, this would not be happening. And Max Dupri would no longer be in the company for that much longer. The timing of this, I think, legitimately saved this man's career. I can't predict what the future holds. This guy should be a future champion, a future world champion in this company, especially when they split the titles, and you know they will. At some point, we will have two titles again. This guy could be and should be a future world champion in this company. He has that potential in him. He could be a moneymaker. He could be one of the top stars on either brand. And just think, if the timing was a little bit different, his career could have been torpedoed. Because Vince McMahon didn't like him, Vince McMahon didn't get him, whatever it was, Triple H took over at exactly the right time, saved this man's career. Michael Cole said, a long way from championship wrestling from Hollywood. And I don't know if our boy Luis is in the chat tonight, I don't think he is, but Luis would have popped for that reference because he used to send me updates all the time on championship wrestling from Hollywood. Hey, did you see the latest episode? And I tell him, no, I don't watch championship wrestling from Hollywood. Why would I watch championship wrestling from Hollywood? I don't even know where to access championship wrestling from Hollywood. But he would give me updates all the time. So I'm sure he'll pop big when he hears that reference. But I love that, actually. I love the fact that they even mentioned that. And I've mentioned this fact before. The last man that Percy Pringle ever managed in his wrestling career before he passed away was Sean Ricker, a.k.a. LA Knight. So I like that they dropped that reference on this show. We've heard references since Triple H took over. We've heard references on commentary, not only championship wrestling from Hollywood, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, PWG, all different kinds of companies. It's nice to hear. So Knight went on the offensive until Maxxine distracted him. That led to Mansoor taking control. LA Knight came back with a neck breaker, went to the apron, hit Mansoor with a knee to the head and a slingshot shoulder block. Massey stood on the apron. He was yelling at Knight. Knight kicked his legs out from under him and knocked him down. And Knight put Mansoir, put him away with the BFT, blunt force trauma, which is a cutter where he basically takes the other guy completely over, or at least that's the way Mansoir took the bump. I thought it looked good. And he picks up the win. So the first official win on the main roster for LA Knight, who takes the mic when the match is over. Now, he came out here. It was never stated that he's a babyface, okay? And he never really did anything to establish himself as a babyface. But him breaking away from the heel comedy group imply that he was going to be a babyface, and the fans were cheering for him. So the assumption is that he was a babyface. Takes the microphone, and he cuts a heel promo on the fans in New Orleans. He says, "Let me talk to you. I don't need a bunch of swamp-dwelling incels saying my name." He says, "Right now, I'm putting all of you on notice, but more importantly, I'm putting the entire WWE roster, all the superstars on the roster." He sounded like Stone Cold in his King of the Ring 96 speech. He's lapsing back into Stone Cold. That was always my knock on him, you know, back in the day when I was first watching him. You would listen to him speak, his cadence, the way that he cut his promos, and it was so obvious that he was blatantly copying elements of Stone Cold and elements of The Rock and blending them together. And there's nothing wrong with taking elements from different people and kind of incorporating it into your own thing. It's just that it was so just patently obvious. And he's gotten better at it, at kind of masking it. But I couldn't help but just think of the 96 King of the Ring promo as he was talking about, you know, like when Austin said, "I'm serving notice to every one of the WWF superstars." This kind of reminded me of that a little bit. Maybe that was his inspiration for it. He says, "From here on, you can get your ticket punched." Why? Because whose game is it? LA Knight's game. So they have established him as a heel coming out of the show tonight. And Vince McMahon wanted to make this guy a fucking manager. I want you to think about that. Not that he wouldn't have been a good manager. I think he had the potential to be a great manager. He could be a great manager. He could be a great commentator. He could be a great wrestler. Maybe he could be a great plumber. Maybe a great lawyer, doctor, teacher, toll booth clerk, waiter, janitor. He could be good at any number of things. That doesn't mean that he should be a janitor or a doctor or a lawyer or a toll booth clerk. He should be a fucking wrestler. Triple H saw that. He immediately undid what was done to this man because he had enough common sense in his brain to say, "Wait a minute, I didn't bring this guy into NXT to be a fucking manager. I didn't bring him in to be a referee," which is what they were going to do with Thunder Rosa. "I brought him in to wrestle." That's what he should be doing on SmackDown. And that's what we got here tonight. But Vince McMahon wanted this guy to be a manager. That man should not be allowed to read a book for the rest of his life, let alone book another wrestling show. So I love that they're running with him as a heel. I like this. Even though, yes, people were cheering for him, and look, he would have gotten, I think, great reactions and would have gotten over very well as a babyface. And he still will. And that's kind of my point. I believe that to set up the big babyface run, he should be a heel first. First of all, the guy's a natural heel, right? If you had to pick one over the other, what is LA Knight? Is he really a heel or is he really a babyface? He's really a heel, right? I think that's really the more natural role for him. But I think to set up the eventual big babyface run that I think he'll have, you need to be a heel first. Get over as a heel, get the people to hate you, and eventually they will turn you babyface. He will get to a point where he is so over, his act is so over, he's got the charisma, right, for it, that the fans will dictate when it is time to turn him babyface. It's better for him to begin, I think, as a heel. So I agree with that, and I like the fact that they are now going to push him as a heel. And yeah, I took a quick look at the SmackDown roster. As a heel, here's who he has to work with as the roster currently stands on SmackDown. Now, Rey Mysterio has been added to SmackDown. So Rey Mysterio is somebody that LA Knight could potentially work with, but you also have Ricochet, Madcap Moss, Shinsuke Nakamura, the Brawling Brutes, and Drew McIntyre. So any number of babyfaces, he can work with each one of those people. So it's not like he doesn't have people to work with. So I like that move a lot. And what's great is that, again, he can play both roles. He could be a babyface, he could be a heel, whatever role you need him to be in. Which, again, I think is what makes him such a valuable piece of that roster on SmackDown. You can pretty much plug him in anywhere you want, whatever need you want. They felt they had a need for a heel. And so that's what he's going to be. We had Damage Control taking on Raquel Rodriguez, Shotzi Blackheart, and Roxanne Perez. For those wondering, I saw one person in the chat, where is Nakamura? Nakamura, he's been out of the ring for a little while now, but I believe he might still be in Japan. He went to Japan for the Inoki funeral because there was a picture I saw of him with some of the New Japan talents online. So at least as far as right now, he might still be in Japan. I'm not sure physically if he's back in the States or not, but I know he was at the, there was some kind of, it might have been more of a private ceremony for Inoki, but that's where he was. So the heels tried to isolate Roxanne in their corner. She fought them off and knocked Bayley to the floor. Perez hit a suicide dive onto Bayley. Bayley's head came within an inch or two of smacking the edge of the announce desk. It was very scary. I mean, that was concussion city potentially for Bayley, but she seemed to be okay. Later on, Rodriguez got a hot tag from Shotzi and she went after Bayley. Raquel caught Dakota Kai in a powerbomb position. The position she gets her opponent up for the Tejana bomb. So she's got Dakota up on her, like on her shoulder. Io Sky climbs out onto the apron and she's setting up for a moonsault. And I see this, right? I see it before she even does it. And I'm just thinking to myself, this can't end well. This is not a good idea because Raquel has Dakota up like this and Dakota's back is turned. I believe her back was turned. And it's very clear that when Io executes the moonsault, she's going to come right down on Dakota's head. And sure enough, as she came down, her leg just smacked Dakota right in the back of the head. And everybody fell down. And again, it didn't make much sense that she would take her partner out that way. So I'm not sure, you know, with her partner in that position, I'm not sure why she would have gone for the moonsault at all. But that was scary moment number two here in this match. Shotzi took out Sky with a dive. In the ring, Bayley hit the Bayley to belly on Roxanne for a near fall. Bayley went up top, Perez cut her off, and Roxanne joined her on the ropes, hit a Hurricane Rana. Perez covered Bayley for a near fall. Bayley went for her rose plant finish, but Roxanne reversed out of it, and there was a moment of awkwardness here before Bayley hooked Perez over for the pin. It looked to me like Roxanne just forgot herself for a second. She was out of position, and Bayley had to whisper something to her. And she kind of rolled herself backwards, and that allowed Bayley to hook her shoulders over for the pin. So it was a very flat finish to what otherwise I thought was a very average match. There were a couple of scary moments in this match, but outside of the awkward finish, I thought Roxanne looked good. This is her first foray to the main roster, her first official match on SmackDown, and I thought that she did a good job here. And they booked her like an equal to the other women. You know, she looked like she belonged. Now, yeah, she is on the smaller side. It is more noticeable when she's in there with someone like Raquel, who looks like, you know, fucking a giant in there next to her. But outside of the size issue that people may have, I thought that she, you know, her work looked good, and I thought she was great. And look, it was a one-off. She's not on SmackDown. This was a one-off to set up the Pick Your Poison stuff on NXT. So for a one-off, they didn't have to book her as strong as they did, and they did. So for her, that's a good sign. We had another Viking Raiders vignette. We saw a glimpse of Ivar's face. I don't think we saw Eric's face, but we saw the back of the head of a woman who clearly is Sarah Logan, who once again was narrating the video and talked about Valhalla. And so they're putting Sarah Logan together with the Viking Raiders when they come back. We had Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro of Legado del Fantasma with Santos Escobar and Zelina Vega in their corner. Making their in-ring debut tonight against Hit Row, Ashanti the Adonis and Top Dollar. Top Dollar and Ashanti, they attack Wilde and Cruz in the aisle before the match even began. Eventually, they made their way into the ring. It felt like 2 minutes later, and then finally the referee called for the bell to start the match. Escobar reached in and tripped up Ashanti at one point. Zelina Vega dove off the ring steps, took out B-Fab with a Fez press. In the ring, Wilde tagged in. He and Del Toro hit Top Dollar with a double super kick, and they hit a kick into a neck breaker for their finish, and they pinned Top Dollar. That was the surprising part of this to me, is that they didn't pin Ashanti, they pinned Top Dollar, who they seem to be kind of putting over as the real star of the group. Which, if that's the case, then this group is going nowhere. If their idea is that Top Dollar is going to be the big star coming out of this group, then guess what? Hit Row ain't going nowhere. So Top Dollar got pinned. There was a part of this match, and it was a very brief match. Maybe it went, I don't know, 3 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes maybe. But there was a part in this match where Top Dollar was on the offensive. And he was doing some wacky move. You know, The Rock had the people's elbow, and everyone's got their signature. So this is sort of Top Dollar's move, where he's about to set up for a big jumping elbow. And he says a bunch, I don't even know what he said. I didn't write it down. He said some stuff, and he did his catchphrase. Nobody cared. You could not pay these people enough to care about what was going on, really, during the entire match. But even during this part where you would think people would chant along with Top Dollar, they didn't give a shit about Top Dollar. They would not pay Top Dollar for Top Dollar when he did that move. And look, I can understand the fans not reacting to Legado del Fantasma, which they did not. They didn't react to anybody in this segment. I understand them not reacting big to Legado del Fantasma because they literally just debuted on the main roster. Was it a week ago? I think it was last week. They just debuted. And unless you watch NXT, and clearly a lot of people do not watch NXT, not anymore, you would have no idea who these people are. You have to first establish them on this show before you can expect them possibly to start getting reactions. Now, I said it was a struggle for a lot of people to get reactions on this show tonight, unless your name was Bray Wyatt. I don't know what was going on with this crowd tonight in New Orleans, but Legado, I understand. Hit Row, though, now we have been in multiple cities on multiple episodes of SmackDown. Tonight was no different. These crowds are not reacting to Hit Row. Hit Row is not over. And this is not an isolated incident in one building or in one city. Hit Row is as stone cold as a cadaver right now. They have no pulse. And it's pretty clear to me now that all this time has gone by what the missing ingredient is here to this group. Why is Hit Row not over? Why are they not getting over? Because they're missing one very important piece of the puzzle. And that person's name is Swerve Strickland. And I understand that Swerve was not part of the original Hit Row concept that these three came up with. Originally, Hit Row did not have Swerve. That was something WWE did. They kind of shoehorned him in there. I'm not even sure that Swerve necessarily wanted to be part of it. But that was a WWE thing. But B-Fab and Top Dollar and Ashanti, they had their own thing going on before Swerve got inserted. Swerve getting inserted was the best possible thing that could have happened to that group. And they got released, they came back, but when they came back without Swerve, the magic was gone. And there were people who didn't even like Hit Row before. I was a Hit Row fan. But I think for a lot of people who like them, the magic is gone. They're missing something. They're missing the most important piece of the puzzle. He don't work there no more. Or as Bianca Belair says, he doesn't even go there. And they are ice cold. Nobody cares. That's going to be a very big problem. Without Swerve Strickland, I mean, I hate to say it, but without Swerve Strickland, you know, they're more Death Row than Hit Row. And I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. If Top Dollar is going to be the big star that they're going to kind of build everything around to try to get this group over, then they're dead in the water. I don't know if turning them heel is going to make a difference. I don't think they can. I think the way now you have all these factions on this show, I don't even know that they can turn Hit Row. I think they need them as babyfaces for the time being. You know, maybe they'll have an extended feud with Legado. Legado winning obviously was the right call here because they're the new group. They needed to win. Things are not going well for Hit Row. So Kayla Braxton was in the back. She was interviewing Sonya Deville, who popped up on NXT last week. Deville complained about Liv Morgan being gifted opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. She said that Morgan was destroyed at Extreme Rules, and it shows that she doesn't have it. And out of nowhere comes Liv Morgan. She attacks Sonya Deville. Morgan dumped her onto a road, one of those giant equipment cases that they have in the back, very gently. Slammed her down on top of one. Then she slammed Sonya's head repeatedly on a table several times. And then she placed Sonya on top of the table. And Liv looked up, and there was a little scaffolding right next to where they were. She climbed the scaffolding, and she hit a giant senton off the top, down through Sonya, through the table. Same spot that she did with Lacey Evans on TV before Extreme Rules. And she was sort of laughing, I guess, at her. She was acting very weird. It's what we saw after she lost the title to Ronda. They found her in the back. She was sitting and she was laughing. And I guess she's doing a gimmick now where she's lost her mind. I don't know where they're going to go with Liv Morgan. I don't know who she's going to feud with now. Hopefully not for the championship. But they're doing a new gimmick with her. So we had a Fatal 4-Way. This is the best thing on the entire show. Fatal 4-Way to crown a new number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. It was Sheamus. It was Ricochet. It was Solo Sikoa. And it was Karrion Kross. Except it was not Karrion Kross, because Samantha Irvin said that due to injury, Karrion Kross would not be able to compete. And so therefore, filling spot number four in the Fatal 4-Way was... And then we got Rey Mysterio's entrance music. And Rey came out and he got a very nice reaction. So his quitting lasted less than an hour. But I liked it. I liked it because I knew Rey was winning. I didn't know who number four was going to be. I figured they're going to do the mystery man thing. I had no idea who it was going to be. It should have smacked me right in the face. Rey is in the back. He must be there for a reason, right? Triple H pulled him into his office. We don't know what they talked about. As soon as Rey came out, I knew he was winning the match. You just look at the makeup of the people in this match. You've got Solo Sikoa, who is a member of the Bloodline. Now, unless Solo Sikoa is going to win and bring more gold into the Bloodline, he should not be losing. So yes, he could win the Fatal 4-Way, but he's going to lose to Walter. And you should not be having him lose to Walter. So that took him out of the equation. Ricochet. We've been there, done that twice. He lost the Intercontinental title to Walter. They had a rematch on TV. He got beat again. Nobody wants to see that again. Then you have Sheamus. And as I have said, there will be a third match between him and Walter, but you've got to find a way to get away from it, put it out of people's minds, and revisit it when we get to WrestleMania season. Maybe that's the Royal Rumble. There's an interaction with them in the Rumble. Maybe they eliminate each other, whatever it is. When we get closer to WrestleMania, that's when you come back around to it. Sheamus can point out, hey, look, in our last match, we had some controversy. I got you to tap out. Walter can say, no, I didn't tap out. That was, you know, a Brazilian tap out or whatever his excuse is. But the Brawling Brutes got a win over Imperium at Extreme Rules also in the six-man tag, in the Donnybrook match. So if they can get away from that for a while, they can come back to it later on. Now is not the time to be crowning Sheamus as the number one contender when he's already lost twice. Now you're going to run it into the ground where people aren't going to want to see it anymore. Sheamus could not win this match. That left only one person, Rey Mysterio. Michael Cole mentioned, and I couldn't believe this. This actually surprised the hell out of me. Michael Cole on commentary mentioned that this was the very first time in all of their years in WWE that Rey Mysterio and Sheamus were in the ring together against each other in a match. And I was thinking, you know, surely they would have had a TV match at some point. I don't remember any pay-per-view matches. Outside of maybe a fleeting interaction, maybe in a Royal Rumble match or something, these two, in all the years they've been in this company, now Rey has been in this company going back to 2002. He left, so he was gone for a few years, but he's been part of WWE for almost a full 20 years. Sheamus made his debut on the main roster at the end of 2009. So there's a lot of overlap there between these two. And it's hard because we've seen so many of the same matches over and over and over again that these two have never had a match together, but apparently not. I was shocked when he said that. This is also where Michael Cole announced that Triple H got breaking news in his ear. And he announced to us that Triple H said that Rey and he cut a deal in the back for Rey to officially come over to the Blue Brand and be part of SmackDown. Now, this is all very goofy when you consider the fact that there is no brand split to respect. People are constant, and even since Triple H took over, if anything, it's gotten worse since Triple H took over. I don't even talk about it anymore because it's just normal, right? I mean, it's just, I accept it. It is what it is, and if they want to have mixing of the rosters, that's fine with me. Get rid of the whole fucking brand split for all I care. But it's not as if they've been taking this seriously. So the idea that Ray is on SmackDown now, there's nothing stopping him from showing up on Raw next week. So it's going to take some time, I think, for Triple H, if he wants to have a true brand split, to condition the audience to take them at their word and trust that there is, in fact, a brand split. But I still, like, in my mind, though, I love the idea of Ray being back on SmackDown and being exclusive to SmackDown. It's the brand that he helped build so many years ago. He was part of that SmackDown 6 crew. When I think of the SmackDown 6 and I think of that era, 2002, 2003, all those great matches that we had on SmackDown, you think of Rey Mysterio, you think of Eddie Guerrero, you think of Benoit, you think of Angle, you think of Edge. Throw Lesnar in there too, right? Is that 7? I may have named 7, but he was part of that crew. So Rey has long-term ties to the SmackDown brand. I love the idea of him being back on the show. After Sokoa and Ricochet fought out of the ring, Mysterio sent Sheamus to ringside, hit a dive out onto the pile. Back from the break, Sheamus caught Mysterio with a backbreaker, and he teased going for the brogue kick, but Solo Sokoa rocked Ricochet with a clothesline. Sheamus and Sokoa then had a face-off. They had a little stare down for the very first time, and it got a nice reaction from the crowd, one of the few things that got a reaction tonight. Sheamus sent Sokoa to the floor. Solo caught him with a Samoan drop, though. Ricochet took out Sokoa with a suicide dive. And the dive knocked Solo backwards into the cameraman. So we saw the cameraman fall down. Sokoa wasn't even selling the move. He was looking over to make sure, off camera, to make sure that the cameraman was okay. So cameraman seemed to be okay. Ricochet and Mysterio then squared off. They had a sequence of their own. That got a big reaction. It was great to see these two in the ring together in their natural habitat, doing their thing. They went back and forth, traded pinfall attempts. Ricochet caught Mysterio in a Northern Light suplex into a, it was like a brainbuster or whatever it was, for a near fall. He climbed to the top rope. Solo Sokoa jumped back in, and he ran wild. He rocked Sheamus with a spinning heel kick. After another break, I think this was the final break of this match, Sokoa was firmly in control. Sheamus recovered with a pair of boots to Sokoa's face. Sheamus climbed up to the top rope. Ricochet and Mysterio cut him off. They attempted a double suplex. Sokoa, though, cut them off with a double powerbomb. Sheamus destroyed Solo with not 10, not 20, 26 beats of the Bowron on the apron. And then he locked on the cloverleaf. Jey Uso and Sami Zayn showed up. Remember, no disqualifications in a fatal four-way. They showed up. They got put down. Butch and Ridge Holland ran out to save Sheamus. The Bloodline, the Brawling Brutes, all four men. I think it was, well, five men. Four men. Sheamus was in the match. They fought to the back. In the ring, Mysterio set up for the 619. Ricochet, though, blocked it. And Ray recovered. He spiked Ricochet. Ricochet was going for something, and Ray, he countered it. And he spiked, and I let out an audible, like, gasp when this happened. He spiked Ricochet right on his head. And Ricochet landed in the ropes in perfect position for the 619. Ray hit the 619, finished him off with a frog splash, got the pin. And Ray Mysterio is now the number one contender for the Intercontinental title. We only got a taste. We got a crumb. Not even the main course has yet to be served. We got a crumb on this show of what Ricochet and Rey Mysterio can do. And what we got was great. And again, I love Triple H moving Rey from Raw to SmackDown for really two reasons. For one, it opens up a whole host of match possibilities now for Rey Mysterio at a time when he was very much stale. Spent so many years on Monday Night Raw. He's been spending every waking hour of television time for the last, I don't even know, year and a half, 2 years, trying to get his son over, trying to establish Dominic on the main roster, as any father would do. He is doing everything he possibly can to help his son and try to help get him over so that one day he won't need to help him anymore. And Dominic is like a little birdie. He can let the birdie go and fly. That's how Ray has been spending the entire last couple of years of his career. This gets him away from Raw. It gets him away from all the usual faces that we have seen him in the ring with. And it opens up a whole host of different possibilities. Look, I was shocked, right, to find out that he and Sheamus have never wrestled before. Well, wouldn't it be nice to get a singles match at some point, right, between Rey and Sheamus? I mean, look at what we had tonight alone. We had Rey and Sheamus. We had Rey and Solo Sikoa in the ring. We had Rey and Ricochet, which is something, I mean, the first time I saw it goes back to the Prince Puma days, Prince Puma and Rey in the match they had back in Lucha Underground. So I would love to see the two of them, you know, lock up at a big singles match that they promote in advance on a, you know, maybe a big episode of SmackDown or something. And now we're going to get Rey and Walter. And as I said at the beginning of the stream, we got to get the hashtag going, hashtag pray for Rey, because he's going to need it. He's going to need some kind of divine intervention because this man is going to be murdered. But I love the match. I'm a sucker for the whole, you know, I say big man, little man. I mean, Walter is not 6 foot six, but he's bigger than Rey. He used to be bigger. Now he's leaned up, right? He's gotten himself in better shape. But the idea that you have a powerhouse like Walter and you have a high flyer like Rey, I love that dynamic. I think these two, without having ever seen them in the ring together, I have a feeling that these two will go in there and have great chemistry and will have a great match. So it won't go well for Rey, but it's a match I'm looking forward to. Now, the other thing that I love about making this move and sending Rey Mysterio from SmackDown to Raw, it gets him away from Dominic long enough that they can stall now, long enough to get to WrestleMania season. I've had super chats coming in on some of the recent streams. Boy, you know, if they're going to do the match at WrestleMania, that's a long time, 6 months. It is a long time. There are already people who are sick and tired of the Rey and Dominic stuff, even though I think I like the story they've been telling. The stuff with Judgment Day, you know, that they did coming out of the I Quit match at Extreme Rules, I thought was fantastic. But 6 months is a long time to keep this thing going without paying it off when people are already growing tired of it. It's like the Sheamus and the Walter thing. So what do? You find a way to get away from it and make people forget about it for the next 3, 4 months, 5 months, and then you come back to it. Moving Rey to SmackDown allows them to do that. Get him away from the Judgment Day. Get him away from Dominic for a few months. Rey gets to go to SmackDown, work with different people. The Judgment Day can run roughshod on Monday Night Raw. And then eventually, when you get to WrestleMania season, again, maybe it's a spot in the Royal Rumble, they will come back together, Rey will have a change of heart, and Rey will agree to wrestle his son. And the two of them will have their match at WrestleMania. So I like the fact that it gets Rey away from these people for a while, and then eventually they can bring it back. So everything about this, I think, is a win for Triple H. I thought this was a very smart move on his part. And then it was time. It was time for the arrival of Bray Wyatt, his first time on SmackDown in maybe 2 years. It's been a very long time since we've seen Bray on Friday night. They played a new piece of music for Bray, and I'm going to have to hear this song again. This is the first time, just like all of you, that I've heard this song. I don't know if this is a real song that they're licensing or if this was made specifically for Bray. I've never heard this song before. My first impression was that I liked it, but it just doesn't seem to fit the character. And he's had some great music before. I mean, all of the music that he's had before is actually better. The Code Orange Fiend theme, I think, is fantastic. I know they took it off of Spotify, but you can still find it on, I don't know about Apple Music, but you can still find it. I mean, obviously, you could always find it on YouTube, but YouTube Music, you know, there's a YouTube Music app. You can play it in there. They've got Rebel Heart on there at least too, by the way. That's still not back on Spotify, but the Code Orange theme was great. And look, even the He's Got the Whole World in His Hands song by Juggernaut Kid that they used when he came back at Extreme Rules. That's a real song. It's actually a pretty badass song. That would be the perfect song for him to use. But here they came up with something that was very different. It's a very different vibe than any of the past music that he's had before. So the magic doorway appeared again, and the door swung open, and out walked Bray with his lantern, and he got a big pop from the crowd, and it's hard to tell. I don't doubt that he got a great reaction legitimately, but it's always hard to tell on this show what they're piping in. They're piping in stuff. I know they are, but how much of it is piped in, how much of it isn't. It's, you know, I would love to sit here, and every time I hear the crowd get really loud on these shows, I would love to sit here and say, oh my God, the crowd was just out of its mind for this person. But then, you know, they do something with the sound mixing that just makes me go, oh yeah, okay. Okay, they're playing games here. This is one of the things I absolutely hate about the pandemic era and coming out of the Thunderdome shows. And I knew it. I fucking knew it. I said this at the time. I said, if there's one thing that's here to stay, the Thunderdome went away. If there's one thing they're going to keep doing, it's going to be crowd sweetening, because they found their new favorite toy. Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn found their new favorite toy, and it's continuing now even under Triple H. Kevin Dunn is still in the truck, and they love being able to manipulate crowd reactions. If it's loud, let's make it louder. If it's not loud, we'll make it loud. And I just, you know, it's not organic. It's not what wrestling is built off of. I'll bet you one person who wishes they were sweetening the crowd is fucking Top Dollar, but we're not going to talk about Top Dollar anymore. But he got a good reaction. He got a good reaction. And he got the long Undertaker-like entrance down to the ring. Now he gets into the ring, and everybody's holding up their phones, right? Like the Fireflies and everything. Everyone's holding up their phones. The arena was still darkened, but there was enough light in the ring that we could see Bray. And Bray, for the first time in his entire career as the Bray Wyatt character in NXT or on Raw or on SmackDown, was in the ring dressed like a normal person. He was in the ring wearing a t-shirt and jeans. There was no Halloween mask. There was no Hawaiian shirt and funny hat or anything like that. He had the dreads, but he looked like a normal human being. And not only did he look like a normal human being, he talked like one. This felt like a heartfelt promo from Bray Wyatt. First time we've ever gotten anything like this. And he said, you know, I'm nervous. This was a version of me that, you know, you've never seen before. This is the real me for the first time. He said this past year in his life, he lost a lot of things. And somebody in the crowd said, we love you. And he said to them, I love you too. He said he lost his career. He lost his self-confidence. He lost two people who were very close to him. And he lost his way. And he got to a point that everything he ever did here didn't matter to anybody. He felt like everything he had ever accomplished and everything that he had ever done in his career didn't mean a thing. And he was tearing up, or it looked like maybe he was tearing up. It was hard to tell because it was so dark. He said that as he was out and about, you know, walking around, people would come up to him on the street and they would ask him, hey, Bray, when are you coming home? They would come to him and say, I just want to say thank you because I was in a time of need in my life and I lost people who were close to me and I felt weak and I felt vulnerable. And in this weakened state, I found your words and I just wanted to thank you. You saved my life. That got him a thank you, Bray chant. And he can say that we, the fans, were there for him in his time of need, when he was down and when he was weakened. And he thanked us for helping to save his life. So all of a sudden, the mush fest comes to an end because the lights go completely out again. And we get the same masked figure, I assume masked man, but we get the same masked person in that glitchy video that we saw at Extreme Rules. The guy wearing the mask that kind of reminds me of V from Vendetta. And the man behind the mask says, oh, little one, my little one, come, come with me. Forget the future, forget the past. Life is over. Breathe your last. You've got no idea who you're dealing with, do you? Oh, but you will. You will. And they flashed Bray's upside-down butterfly logo, and they went off the air. So it appears that what WWE is doing here is they are going the split personality route with Bray Wyatt. I mean, that's my sense of this here. They're going the split personality route. Tonight, we got to see the real Bray Wyatt. We got to see the real Bray tonight until his alter ego stepped in and took over the show. And reminded him that he can't run from his past. Remember, The Why at Six. It's right there in his handle on social media. The Why at Six. We may end up with six different personalities, six different versions, effectively. Even if some of them are played by other people or played by people from NXT, or they bring back his brother Bo and he plays a character. I don't know how they're going to work this out. I kind of like that. I like the surprise in it. I don't necessarily want to know. I want to be able to tune in each week and see for myself exactly what they're going to do with this guy. Maybe they can try to keep it close to the vest. But there are definitely more characters that we have yet to be introduced to. And again, I really think that what we saw tonight was his chance to go out there and really thank the fans in a genuine way. He knows where this storyline is going. He knows that, you know, we're going to get all these characters and there's going to be a lot of twists and turns. And who knows, maybe he'll end up back in the Fiend mask. So in his mind, tonight's my one and only shot to go out there and just kind of talk to the people as myself. I may never have the chance to do this again. You know, we may have another completely different version of Bray Wyatt in the next few weeks. So this may have been his only one and only shot to go out there and say thank you to everybody who has supported him, all the support that he's been getting on social media, all the buzz, all the videos from Extreme Rules and the stuff about Bray getting millions and millions of views on YouTube. Everybody who is following along with the White Rabbit clues, and everybody's been so excited. And he just wanted to go out there before the story, you know, begins to venture off in whatever direction it's going in and say, I just want to say thank you. And I think that's a big part of what we got here tonight. Without all the magic and without all the hocus pocus, this was just Wyndham Rotunda, able to go out there and speak from the heart and let people know how he really feels. But to go back to the music, it makes me think, you know, maybe the idea is that with each personality, if that is the route that they're going to be going with this, with each personality, maybe they'll have their own music. So maybe we will hear the Code Orange theme again. Maybe we'll hear the original Bray Wyatt theme. Maybe we'll have the Whole World's In Your Hands song. And the reason we got the music that we got tonight, maybe that's just for the real Bray. Maybe we'll never hear that song ever again. It just was such a departure to me from all of the other Bray Wyatt songs and those characters that I was, when this was over, I said, okay, maybe that's just as Bray, as Wyndham. This was just the song that he felt he wanted to come out to. And again, maybe we won't be hearing that as much in the future. But what I can tell you is that when this was over, they left me wanting more. As a viewer, they left me wanting to see where this is going to go. Who is this person behind the mask? What is this person talking about when he is saying, you know, oh, you'll find out soon enough. Like, where is this going? This, I thought, was a great cliffhanger. And they structured the show in such a way where they saved Bray right for the very end. The last 8 minutes of the show is when they finally brought him out. They want you to tune in next week to find out what the fuck happened at the end of this show. It's a cliffhanger, and it's a smart device for them to use to try to get people to tune in again the following week. This is what we are seeing now. We're seeing Bray Wyatt with more creative freedom than he has ever had before. More creative freedom than he ever had under Vince McMahon. Triple H has a show to run. Triple H is not going to let Bray Wyatt do whatever the fuck he wants. But within reason, I think he is going to be, and we're seeing it, that he'll be a lot more open to the ideas that he has and loosening the cuffs and letting him be himself. And letting him come up with these ideas and letting him do it in the way that he feels it needs to be done and not stifling him creatively in a way that he probably felt stifled before. That's what we're seeing here now with Bray Wyatt. And now, I know not everybody is a fan of this. Not everybody, you know, look, I look at this, I think this is going to be a wild ride. Not everybody is a fan of roller coasters, right? Not everybody likes to ride roller coasters. But I think it's going to be a wild ride that he is about to take us on with this storyline, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. Now, next Friday on SmackDown, Logan Paul's going to be there doing what we don't know, talking, I'm sure. Raquel and Shotzi challenge Dakota Kai and Io Sky for the women's tag team titles, and Liv Morgan is going to go one-on-one with Sonya Deville. That is the lineup for next Friday. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. A solid 78% of you have given this show tonight a thumbs up. That is a Overwhelmingly positive score. 14% thumbs in the middle and 7% thumbs down. SmackDown is rolling in a way that it has not been rolling in a very long time. Very long time. Like I said, it's nice, isn't it? It's nice. Even if you don't like everything on SmackDown, there's enough good stuff there to where I actually look forward to seeing the show now. And they got away from that for a while. And it's nice to see SmackDown find its way and be more story-driven and with the Bloodline stuff and now Bray and moving Ray over to the show and LA Knight's back in the role that he should have been in from the very beginning. I like it. It's a solid W for Triple H. Or as Michael Cole would say, W. It's a WW for Triple H, right? Isn't that the way he says it? All right, let's take a look at your Super Chats. See what you guys thought of the Bray Wyatt return tonight. Thank you all, by the way. We have a nice gathering, a nice turnout here tonight. Always good to hang out with you guys on a Friday night. Including Sean Waters with the $5 Super Chat. I will be listening to the recap on my way home. And yes, I will be doing a Halloween review as soon as I see it. I have not seen the movie. I do not want to talk about it because I have not seen it. I have been doing nothing but work. I will be working more tomorrow, getting ready for the show on Sunday. I'm hoping Sunday night I'll finally be able to sit down and watch the movie. Shinakuma, shout out to Fire Panda. Speaking of which, there's Fire Panda. Shout out to the GOAT. Look at this, showing some love to Shinakuma. I think you guys are going to have to get a room. Loose Cannon with the $9.99. Solid Monster, today marks the 10-year anniversary of listening to the Sound Off, episode 241. Just want to say thank you for all the great content that you've provided all these years, and cheers to many more. Well, Loose Cannon, is that John? I think it's John. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that you have been hanging with me for all these years. Thank you very much. Anti-M Bishop. $5 Super Chat. My great guys of the week, Bray Wyatt and Hangman Page. Wonderful promos by both men. SmackDown was a good show. Go Astros. Griga. Bray got me to shed a tear, but what a cliffhanger. It's a great way to keep people guessing about what's coming next in this story. I mean, think about it. If they just give us, like, drip, 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 week by week, it can drag this thing out for another 2 or 3 months before we're even introduced to all the characters that might be coming out of this story. I always thought that it was a real missed opportunity not doing something with Bray and Bo, given the fact they are brothers. And I loved Bo when he was the NXT champion. I mean, he hit on something with that character. It grew on me like fucking mold, but it grew on me. And then he went to the main roster and Vince McMahon just didn't get it. He didn't know what to do with Bo Dallas. The best thing Bo Dallas ever did on the main roster, at least when he was first called up. I know some people like the stuff with him and Curtis Axel. I'll tell you the two best things that Bray Wyatt ever did on the main, or Bo Dallas rather, because they look so much alike. The two best things Bo Dallas ever did on the main roster. Number one is when he bowled over El Torito on the floor. Easily the best fucking thing that he ever did in his career was when he was doing the jog, the celebratory jog around the ring, putting his hands up in the air, didn't even see the little guy, and just hip-checked him and knocked him down. That's number one. Number two, there was a segment when Bray was tagging with Matt Hardy, and the up on the screen they put Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, who were doing impersonations of Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. So Bo got to impersonate his brother, and he dressed up like him, and he did the voice, and you could even see, like, they put Bray on screen, and Bray looked like maybe he was cracking. He did a great job with that. Those are the two best things Bo Dallas ever did. I believe that was a missed opportunity, and I would love to see them do something finally. And if they're going to bring Bo Dallas back, you know, why make him a B-team player? If you're going to bring him back, you do something with Bray. I hope Triple H will, if he's going to bring him back, I hope Triple H will do something with him and his bro. Insanity's Queen Fire Panda. Bray's logo is in the background of Liv's attack on Sonya. You already mentioned this, then take the money and run. I did not notice that. I have stopped looking for the QR codes and all of that stuff, so I did not even notice that in the background. Mr. Notorious Chico, I love Bray's new music. Yeah, I need to hear it a little bit more. I think it's one of those things that if we hear more of it, it might grow on me. I didn't hate it. It's just not what I was expecting. Bing user 2022, that is it. I am switching to Chrome. Finally, it took you this long. I told you that 6 weeks ago. Now you're switching to Chrome. You go from File Explorer. You go from Internet. Well, if you're using File Explorer to surf the web, you got fucking problems. He goes from Internet Explorer to Bing. Now he's finally going to Chrome. I don't know what took you so long. You should have just taken my advice from day one. You could have avoided all of this. Hyru, Kick Rocks, Bruce L.A. Knight is back. Yes. Yes, indeed he is. Midi Sentai, by the time you read this, it'll already be my birthday, so I wanted to get it started right with a little love for a fellow October brother. Well, Midi, I hope you have a great birthday. Another October baby, I love it. I love it. We gotta stick together. All of us October babies have to stick together. There was a lot of action going on around February of that year. Kevin Dunn's Beaver. Have a good weekend. You are the goat. Thank you, Kevin Dunn's Beaver. I hope you shave this weekend. Rodimus Prime. You can use Manscaped if you do. Rodimus Prime. Looking forward to Rey Mysterio against Walter. Definitely something different. Should be a good match, but it won't end well for Rey. Hashtag pray for Rey. Telling you, we got to get that going. Black Wolf, $10 super chat. I still see Judgment Day in the War Games match because Sammy is so good right now. He should be with the Bloodline until after WrestleMania. Then he can be taken out like Fredo in Godfather 2. Nah, I mean, look, I love Sammy and the Bloodline as much as anybody, but when you get to WrestleMania, you got to have those tag team titles on the line. You got to do the Usos against Owens and Zayn. It has to be done. Fire Panda, Cult of Solo, join us. We have cookies. Carlos Colon. Get out of here. You're not wanted in here. Carlos Colon. Bloodline against Wyatt 6 War Games. Let's go. Mets 2023. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be Bloodline and Wyatt 6, but we'll see. JM with the $22 super chat. Hope you see this. I just woke up in the night living in Europe, and I see that you are streaming, so I dropped in. Thank you for your work. Have a great stream. I'm going to sleep again. Well, that sounds like a great idea. I'll be doing the same thing here in a little bit, but JM, thank you for the support. Thank you for dropping by. You're always welcome here. So is Carlos Colon, as long as it's not the Carlos Colon. He's blocked. He's not welcome here. Joseph Brooks, which heel do you think really had so much more to do and it sucks wasn't longer of a run? Hollywood Rock or 2010 Batista? Both of them. But of the two, Hollywood Rock. We didn't get nearly enough of Hollywood Rock. Do you think that we will probably get those new title belt designs revealed at Survivor Series? No, I don't think it'll be Survivor Series. It might just be, you know, 1 week. It might just be a random week. I thought they would time it with the season premieres, and they didn't. So I don't think it'll be Survivor Series, though. I think it'll be before then. I shouldn't say before then, but I think it might just be on TV 1 week. They'll just come out, and they'll have new belts. JM again. Dropping some super chat love. Like the shirt that you are wearing, I have almost the same one, but mine is Dragon Ball related. Did you ever watch Dragon Ball or any anime? I know my question is not wrestling related. I have not watched Dragon Ball. And I have seen very little anime. And one of the funniest, most unintentionally funniest moments, I think, in all the years I've been doing the podcast, and it'll be 15 years next month, it, to show you how little I know of anime. The first time I ever saw the word, and it might have been a mailbag question somebody sent into the show, and I didn't know what it was, I pronounced it wrong. So as I was reading the question, I called it, I read it the way that my brain read it, and I read it as Anime. It's like the first time I saw Wale's name. I didn't know, at the time, I didn't know who Wale was. And, you know, since then, I've spoken to Wale. He seems like a cool dude. But I didn't know of him at that time. So I called him Whale. And I get all these messages from people laughing at me saying, oh my God, tell me you didn't just call him Whale. I go, well, that's his fucking name, is it not? They're like, no, no, it's Wale. I said, well, that's stupid. But I said, okay, fine. Okay. So I learned, right? I didn't know, so I learned. But I called it Anime. And I'm like, people are like, what the fuck is Anime? I go, I don't know. You tell me. You wrote into me. I have no idea what it is. They're like, it's anime. I said, oh, okay. So there you go. That tells you that that's the extent of my anime knowledge. For the longest time, I was calling it by a different name. See, I learned a lot of things doing this show over the years. You guys have smartened me up about all these non-wrestling things. Whale was probably the funniest thing, though. Like, when's the new Whale album dropping? Like, what? No. Wale. King Bling Blah, rank these current weekly shows: Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Are we talking this week? Are we talking this month? Because they go back and forth. I thought Dynamite was a very good show this week. I thought SmackDown was a very good show. I thought Raw. I think Raw was also a very good show this week. I would probably, for this week, I would give it to Dynamite. But that's not the case for every week. It kind of goes back and forth. I think that's a good thing. I think when the shows can trade wins back and forth like that, there was a period of time where Raw was shit pretty much every single week. Now at least it's actually competing with the other shows. Sometimes Raw is better than SmackDown. Sometimes Dynamite is better than Raw. Why doesn't WWE do commercial-free for big matches? It's not their call. It's up to the network. Fox is not going to do that. USA might do that. But it's not their call to make. It's the network's call. 0.216 with the $20 super chat. Lakers Pats, I do not call Tupac Tupac. But Steve Austin calls X-Pac X-Pac, just so you know. 0 point says, you are the main reason I have gone from never watching a pro wrestling match until this April, thought it was lame, to watching almost every WWE TV show and all pay-per-views. I appreciate your balanced takes and sense. You're number one fan in Korea. Thank you very much, Zero Fan. I always love hearing from people who... A lot of the emails I'll get were people who were wrestling fans who just fell out of it. You know, oh, WWE was so bad, or I was an Impact fan and then Impact went to shit and I haven't watched it in 10 years or whatever the email is. Usually it's about WWE. But they heard my reviews on the show. I was praising something, or I said, oh, things are getting better now, and they've tuned back in and now they're back into it. You know, so they have relied on this show to keep up with what's going on in the wrestling world and really use the shows as a way to figure out whether or not there's something worth watching. And there are a lot of people who I've heard from who have now gotten back, you know, since Vince left and Triple H took over. There are people who had no idea because they just completely fell off the map. They fell out of wrestling. Like, their passion got killed. And I tell them now, you know, give it another shot. I wasn't doing the live Raw reviews on Mondays. That's still a relatively new thing. I only started doing a couple of months ago. I refused. I would save it for the Sunday show. I said, I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. Raw now is a lot more watchable and tolerable than it was even just a few months ago. Hopefully they don't slide back to the way it was before. But it's very cool to hear from people who have either come on board or come back on board. So if the show has helped you in that way, then I like hearing that. So thank you very much. JM, there is a Discord server, but it's been very quiet. I haven't really focused. It's kind of dormant right now. I've been debating if I should open it. I feel like if I open it up to, you know, publicly to everybody, it's just going to be a fucking shit show. But technically, yes, there is a Discord. So you can shoot me a message. I can get you in there. My dad left me with the $1.99 super chat. That's awful. Have you seen Jeepers Creepers? I have. The first one. I didn't see any of the other ones. I know there was at least a second one. I enjoyed the first one. Groovy Goose, Riddle and Dallas, Bro Dallas, book it trips. You know, that's not a bad idea, actually. Bro Dallas. That's not bad. That's not bad. I hate that I like that. I actually hate that I like that idea. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, look who it is. It is Google Chrome User 2022. I'm here. He has arrived. What took you so long? King of Doug Style, with the $5 super chat. Just a little something to say thank you for putting all the hours into your day job and still giving us all this weekly content. Hashtag pray for Ray. Thank you, King of Doug Stuff. Lakers Pats, do a Seinfeld George photo shoot at 100,000 subs. I don't know that there are very many people who want to see a near-naked Sala monster on a bearskin rug. But if we hit 100K, we might have to do that. The Shockmaster has fallen through the wall. He has landed in the chat, and he has donated $5 to the stream. Thank you, Shockmaster. Wesley Chen, first time sending Super Chat. Been listening to you since 2018. Found you on TV Tracks and Let's Go Dodgers 2022 World Series Champions. Thank you, Wesley. Vontel, bigger shock. Omos and a good match or the Mets World Series win? Mets World Series win. There's no better team in baseball at choking than the Mets. I think the Mets are into that BDSM stuff. They love being choked. They seem to love it. They always come back for more. They love being choked and having people stomp on their balls every single year. JM says, thank you. Decided to not go to sleep since it's almost 6 in the morning. Uh-oh. He's pulling an all-nighter. I've done that before. That's not going to end well. I'm just letting you know. That's not going to end well. Bobby's World, 2110 with the $10 super chat. Hey, Bobby, thank you. Very happy that LA Knight is back. Here's a guy that only has so much time to make his mark in WWE, and it was not going to happen as Max Dupree. And that's part of the issue, isn't it? I think the guy is the same age as me. I think he's 40, I think. So, you know, he's not a young guy, right? He's not old. There's plenty of people on the WWE roster right now having great success in their mid-40s. Look at Bobby Lashley. Look at Sheamus. Right, look at Chris Jericho in AEW. So LA Knight still has many good years left in him if he can stay healthy. But to first push him and first get him over, it's like Batista and DDP. Like, these are rare examples of people who got a late start in the business and didn't even first get started until they were mid to late 30s and ended up going on to become world champions, and that could be LA Knight. LA Knight's a 40-year-old guy. He's not a rookie. He's potentially only has so much time left. you don't have time to just fuck around and, oh, let's try this with him and let's try that. No, just let him be himself. Let him play the character that he's used to playing and let him make you money while he still can before he ages out. Time is of the essence. Brock Benningfield, your year-end review is going to be crazy. Here's money for your efforts. What, you know, this year is not even over yet, and it's amazing to think of all the things that we've already seen this year. It's just insane. Craziest year in the history of wrestling, I think. Tripod, I missed Tuesday Night Titans. Were you into it? You know, I didn't watch much Tuesday Night Titans as a kid because I didn't have cable. So there weren't a lot of opportunities for me to see Tuesday Night Titans at that time. But I have watched many of the episodes on the network since then. And I'm a big fan of the show. Primetime Wrestling also. Gorilla and Bobby. There's nothing better than that. Juan Ocampo, it is pronounced Mario, not Mario. Say it right. Cool. I can't wait for the Super Mario Brothers movie to come out. And Juan, you're going to come with me. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Toronto are the better choke artists set. Oh, I don't know about that. I wouldn't be so sure about that. I've seen enough choking in my lifetime as a Mets fan to know that the Mets will give anybody a run for their money. Andrew, thank you. Says, I look young. You implying that I'm old? I feel like a young man. Are you trying to put me out to pasture? I got a lot of good years left in me. Tripod, Solid Monsters TV only had two channels, on and off. And it was black and white, right? And I had to get up and go use the knob instead of using the remote control. It had the fucking rabbit ears on top of it, right? It was one of those old CRT televisions that weighed like 40 pounds. It looked like a giant... What did it look like? It looked like a giant microwave. Oh, my God. Tripod, thank you. All right, let's check and see where we are at, as far as Be the Booker goes. Oh, you guys smashed the goal. That's awesome. You guys smashed the goal. We are nearing 600 likes on the stream. Please hit that like button if you have not already done so. It does help the channel out. In the recommendeds, the more people who like the video, the more places the video will pop up. So if you want to help the channel, it's the easiest way to support is to hit that thumbs up. And because you hit that thumbs up, we get to do Be the Booker and close out the week the right way. So let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Nothing like some Be the Booker on a Friday night. I love it. I love it. We begin with the men's Be the Booker feature. Let's book ourselves some matches and see what we come up with here. We are taking this thing for a spin. It's like the old wheel that they would spin on Raw for Raw Roulette. Never knew what it was going to land on. But tonight, it lands on Madcap Moss. We have not seen Madcap Moss on TV in recent weeks. I don't know if that's a sign that maybe Triple H is not as big of a fan of his as Vince McMahon was. I don't know. I think Madcap has potential. He just needs a different name. Madcap Moss going to go one-on-one with Mae Young's hand. Look at her baby boy. Look at this geek. May would beat the crap out of this guy. Madcap Moss and Mae Young's hand. We're just going to move on here. We're not even going to talk about that. We're going to move on. Where that hand has been, I don't want to know. And neither do you. We begin with Melina. Do doing one of my favorite entrances in wrestling. There's Melina doing the splits. She's a very flexible lady. You know, Melina took one of the most brutal-looking sharpshooters I've ever seen when she wrestled Natalya many years ago because she is so bendy. Natalya, like, wrenched all the way back on the hold. So we got Melina going one-on-one with Chyna. What do you think? Melina and Chyna. I'm going to give that the belt. Melina and Chyna, I think, could be a good match. It has potential. Now we go over to the tag teams here. Let's spin. Keep it going. Let's see who we land on. Where it lands, nobody knows. And we begin with the Fabulous Freebirds. There's Michael P.S. Hayes. There's Terry Bam Bam Gordy. Is that David Wolf in the lower left-hand corner? Fabulous Freebirds didn't have a very long run in WWE. They didn't really do much of anything in WWE. They had their success outside of WWE. But it'll be the Fabulous Freebirds getting into the ring with Well Done. Timothy Well and Stephen Dunn, who also did not have a very long run in WWE. Not hard to see why. It's like how I like my steak. Well done. How I like my burgers. Well done. I'm sure that'll get people, that'll get their dander up. The Nacho Man with the $1.99 in a, I'm a Cowboys fan. The Kings of Choking. And Rizzo, my Red Wings won. Work week is over and Bray is back. Also, we didn't even have to stall you this time to get to be the booker. And it's always nice when we don't need to struggle to hit that goal. But we are right around 600 likes. Again, thank you guys for that. One out of three is not a good be the booker. We've had much better. And even the one that we went with, I think, is kind of borderline there. Chyna and Melina, I gave it the bell, but not really an enthusiastic bell. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, never mind, be the booker, the king of choking. And Milton. Oh, there's Tony. There's Tony on screen with his stash. Milton Herrera Rimoldi. Great promo from Bray. Interested to see where it goes. The rumor is the bloodline against the Wyatt Six in the War Games match. I prefer Owens being involved. That rumor started from a Twitter account that, and I don't know how many times I can say this, that it started from a Twitter account that has no credibility. So when I say that I don't see it being bloodline of Wyatt Six, could it end up being that? I suppose it's possible, but the reason people were talking about that this week is because it was put out there by a Twitter account that has no basis of putting that out there as a factual statement. But people took it and they ran with it and they turned it into something that it's not. The plan is not, I don't believe, to put the bloodline against the Wyatt Six. So don't do this to yourself, where you get all excited about the possibility of something that WWE never actually announced or intended to do in the first place. And it was not Ringside News. It was a Twitter account. KGB24 with the $2. You see Cody making it back in time for War Games? No. And even if there was a possibility of him being back in time for War Games, I would not put him in War Games. That is far too soon. Now, Cody is said to be a little bit ahead of schedule. I think the Royal Rumble is probably going to be doable. He should be in the Rumble if he's able to make it, but War Games, absolutely not. I'm sure he's got a soft spot for it. His father, you know, brought the War Games concept to pro wrestling. He was watching Mad Max. That's where he got the idea from, so Cody, I'm sure, has an affinity for it, you know, the match beyond, but he is not going to be part of War Games. Yeah, I mean, again, people set themselves up for disappointment when they... Look, I do that to myself sometimes when I talk about ideas that I'll come up with. But then I'll talk about it so much that when it doesn't happen, I'm disappointed. I keep talking about WrestleMania, right? We keep talking about the Usos against Owens and Zayn. It just seems like a natural direction for them to go in. And a great time for the Usos to finally drop those belts. I don't see there being a better tag team for them, frankly, to drop those titles to. If it ends up not happening, I'll be very disappointed. But WWE has never announced Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos. It's just that's the natural progression of the story that I see. That's very different, though, than coming to a random Twitter account that says, oh, we have sources that say XYZ is going to happen. And then you kind of look at their track record, and I don't know why people still take what they say as gospel. All you're doing is setting yourself up for disappointment. Anybody can do that. Any idiot can set up a Twitter account and start doing that. There's a reason why the word zero is in the name. It represents the number of sources that they have. Please do not fall into that trap. Rizzo, $5 super chat. Thoughts on the Cole news from Meltzer? Either way, I hope he just has a healthy life. Same with Big E. This business is not worth risking their health. Yeah, I was very sad to hear that Adam Cole is not, I don't say not doing well, but that his concussion was very serious and could potentially keep him out of the ring for much longer than people expected. Concussions are no joke. Concussions can be career-ending. They have been career-ending for certain people. I hope that's not the case with Adam Cole, but he's going to be out for a while, it sounds like. It's not a situation where he's going to be back anytime soon, and that sucks. But like you said, the most important thing, just be able to live your life. There are people who suffer concussions and they have lingering issues for the rest of their life. They can't look at lights or, you know, they get headaches, they get nauseous. It's awful. So, I mean, as long as he's able to function in his normal everyday life, he's on Twitch a lot. I know that. He's big on Twitch. That's got to be a positive sign that he's in front of his screen for hours on end and he seems to be okay. So, that's really the best you can hope for. I mean, some things are just more important than wrestling. Tripod, thank you for the 10 spot. Question, do you feel that the concept of playoffs in sport are a scam because the best team doesn't always win? It baffles me that a team that barely qualifies can be a league champion. I feel like you would feel that way unless that team that qualifies and ends up being champion is your team. Then you probably love it. But yeah, I mean, look, it's not a perfect system, but they wanted to create a system that was exciting to watch. You know, the changes that they made, for example, with the baseball playoffs and everything, wild card, all that stuff, I think were changes for the better. It makes the game more exciting to follow. And that's what they're about. They're trying to make things as interesting as possible, even if it isn't always the best team that gets in. You know, it's going to be what's good for their bottom line and what's good for television ratings. That's why they do it. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, my sources told me this stream about to end night. Are you wishing me a good night? Have a good night, Dakota. You and your sources. Jay William, I'm tempted to say that I dislike the Braves more than the Phillies, but I don't know. Every time I think of the Fanatic, I'm reminded of why the Phillies annoy me. Yeah, Bliss Fan, Bray doesn't have to beat Orton and Reigns and Goldberg. I know that you want him to go get revenge on everybody who wronged him and everybody who beat him. I don't think Bray has to go back. You really want to see Bray back in the ring with Goldberg? Can we just leave that dead horse alone? Can we leave that in the past and not have Goldberg back in the ring with Bray Wyatt? Or anybody else for that matter? I don't want to see that. Least favorite Philly? Chase Utley. There's a great sign years ago during the playoffs on SNY, you know, which carries the Mets broadcast. They were sitting, it's like the pre-show panel, or pre and post-show, and they're sitting outside Citi Field. And some fans are gathered behind them. And there's one fan holding up a sign that says Chase Utley. I think it was Chase Utley deserves. I think it was deserves. Chase Utley deserves the electric chair. And it's just like, it's right there in full view of the camera. I laughed my ass off for like 5 minutes when I saw that sign. I said, you know what? I don't think that person's wrong. Have I ever caught a ball at a Mets game? Yes. Yes, I have. I was on the field, actually. They had a section on the field for opening day 1 year. I was sitting right there on the field, right, basically right behind home plate, kind of, or off to the side. And the ball, technically, there was netting above us, and the ball landed in the netting, and then it rolled down, and as it rolled off, I caught the ball. So technically, I did. I caught the ball at the Mets opening day. This is going back a ways, though. This is back when Bloomberg was the mayor. Bloomberg was sitting in the box right next to us. But technically, yes, I did catch a ball on opening day. Miguel, good luck with the Lakers season. We gotta wish him good luck because the Lakers season, he says, starts on Tuesday. I don't have a dog in that fight, so I will wish them luck. Tripod, better Gary, Thorne or Cohen? Cohen. Gary Cohen is the best. Gary Cohen is the best play-by-play man in baseball. Possibly in all of sports. But I might be a little biased in saying that. What is the day of the 15-year anniversary? We're going to celebrate all month. The month of November is the 15-year anniversary. But if you're looking for the day of the very first sound-off, I want to say it was November 6, I believe. I think it was November 6, 2007. It was a Tuesday. First sound off came out on a Tuesday. It was the night after Monday Night Raw, the Raw where Stone Cold made an appearance to promote the DVD of one of his straight to DVD movies. And he did, I think it was a recreation of the beer truck with Santino. And then the next day I did the, if my memory's correct. And you guys, by the way, who are sound off legends, you can go check it yourself. Because you guys have the very first sound off up in the archives right now. You guys got that retro audio. The very first sound off is actually up right now. And I hate listening to it just because I sound so different. I sound so timid. But you guys can go back and listen to the first 13 shows. I gotta get episode 14 up soon. Rizzo says, I never caught a foul ball. And if I ever get the chance, I'll take the ball away from a little kid. Don't be a dick. Don't be a dick now. I apologize. I'm grumpy and need sleep. Don't be like those guys on TV who are in the outfield, you know, in the bleachers, and they're just shoving little kids out of the way. I saw one guy once. The kid caught the ball, and this guy, some 40-year-old asshole, just takes the ball out of the kid's hand. So he didn't even catch the ball. He just stole it. He's like, fuck it. I'm just going to take it from this kid. And then he eventually got shamed into giving it back, but they should have ganged up on him and kicked his ass. 17 days until Halloween. Yes, Halloween's on a Monday, so we'll have a Halloween Monday Night Raw review at the end of the month. I don't know if I'll dress up. We'll come up with something. All right, let's one last look at the poll here. Again, at Solomonster, guys, follow me on Twitter. That's the handle on there. At Solomonster is the place to go. You can vote in the poll and just follow along for any and all updates, news, announcements about the streams. I usually put them up there if I have anything important to say. We do have episode 778 of the podcast dropping on Sunday. I will give my thoughts on the Ariel Helwani Tony Khan interview, which I did watch. I watched the entire thing. I had not finished watching it the other night when I first talked about it. I have finished watching it. I have thoughts on that. And a full review, my thoughts on the Tales from the Territories episode on Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman. Another very good, very enjoyable episode. I'm enjoying the show so far. I'm enjoying that show. It's on Vice TV, for those who don't know, every Tuesday. Tuesday is actually going to be a very busy night. You've got NXT, you've got AEW, and you've got a new Tales from the Territories on the AWA. There's our boy, Luis. And look at what Luis has done. He has gifted a membership. That is very cool. JL was gifted a membership by Luis Belmont Show Walkthrough. So thank you. Welcome to JL, and thank you to Luis. That was very kind of you. He says, Sling was having issues with the Fox feed at the beginning of SmackDown. Luis, if you were not here at the beginning of the stream, there was a Championship Wrestling from Hollywood reference during LA Knight's match. You have to go back and watch it. You will lose your mind. I thought of you when he said that. And Del Fuego with the $2, buy or sell, Gorilla and the Brain or the Mets commentary team. Nothing will ever top Gorilla and the Brain. I would watch Gorilla and Bobby do baseball commentary. Bobby Heenan would be like the Bob Uecker. We already have Bob Uecker, but he would be like Bob Uecker. He's cut from that same cloth. Bobby and Gorilla will never be beat. Michael, thank you for the kind words. Oh, look who it is. It is Ice Smoker. A lot of weed. I was at kickboxing and some dude passed out and class was canceled. Ambulance came and everything. So I am off tomorrow to lift weights and pick up a joint. Now, do you smoke while you lift? I would think that that's probably not a good idea. You've got to clue me in as to what your routine is. Hopefully the guy is okay. Why did he pass out? Was he smoking something while he was trying to kickbox? EJ Slamp, I try to catch a ball at every game I go to. I usually fail miserably, but I've caught lifetime 12, and I have given most of them to kids. Because you are a good person, that's why. You are a good human being. Smoke after to help relax the muscles. All right, so take Eric's advice. Smoke after you're done. Focus on working out and then smoke. You can kind of relax when it's over. I would think that's the better way to go about doing it, but you see, you're talking to the wrong person here. I wouldn't know. Rocky Road, I like that idea. I like that idea. Next time I go to a wrestling event, he says, I will take a huge Solomonster head cutout. That's what I want to see more of at these shows. I want to see my giant head in the audience, blocking out everyone's view. Nothing would make me happier. All right, so anyway, as I said, 7:78 coming up on Sunday, and then, of course, back with you live for the Monday Night Raw review. We get to do it all over again. We're going to start the week. And Steve, yes, you did. Steve coming in here at the very end. Steve missed Be the Booker. He's very upset. It'll be there for you on the replay, though. You didn't miss much. I don't want to spoil it for you, but you didn't miss much. And I am sure that after I watch Halloween at the end of the weekend, I will have a review, for better or worse. I did a review for the Halloween movie in 2018. I did a review for the last one. How can I not do one for the latest installment? I just can't tell you when that'll be. I will tell you, though, that when I do it, channel members are going to get it first. It's one of those perks of channel membership, early access to special features. So consider becoming a channel member. And when that goes up, you'll have first dibs. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Thank you for all the love and the support. Have yourselves a great weekend. You guys make all of this possible. And have yourselves a good night, and I will see you back here for more Sound Off on Sunday, and of course, live on YouTube on Monday night. Take care, guys.